Chapter 7. At this sign of retreat, the two men threw back their heads and let out shrill, bleating cries. Their hats fell off when they did, revealing the goat-like features and curling horns of Gruffs. But they were bigger than the first attack team. Bigger, stronger, and faster. And as they closed the distance on me, I noticed something else. Both of them had produced submachine guns from beneath their coats. "Oh, come on," I complained as I ran. "That's just not fair." They started shooting at me, which was bad news. Wizard or not, a bullet through the head will splatter my brains just as randomly as the next guy's. The really bad news was that they weren't just spraying bullets everywhere. Even with an automatic weapon, it isn't easy to hit a moving target, and the old spray and pray method of fire relied upon blind luck disguised as a law of averages. Shoot enough bullets, and eventually you have to hit something. Do your shooting like that, and sometimes you'll hit the target, and sometimes you won't. But the Gruffs shot like professionals. They fired in short, burping little bursts, aimed fire, even if it suffered from the fact that they were moving while they did it. I felt something hit my back, just to the left of my spine, an impact that felt somewhat like getting slugged in the back by someone with a single knuckle extended. It was a sharp, unpleasant sensation, and the way my balance wavered was more due to the fact that it surprised and frightened me than to the actual force it imparted. I kept running, ducking my head down as far as I could, hunching up my shoulders. The defensive magics woven into my coat could evidently stop whatever rounds the Gruffs were using, but that didn't mean an unlucky ricochet couldn't bounce some lead into me from the front or sides around the coat. And getting shot in the lower legs, ankles, or feet would probably kill me as certainly as one through the head. It would just take a little more effort on the Gruff's part to make it stick. It's hard to think when someone's trying to kill you. We human beings aren't wired to be rational and creative when we know our lives are in danger of a swift and violent end. The body has definite ideas of which survival strategies it prefers to embrace, and those are generally limited to rip threat to pieces or run like hell. No thinking need be involved as far as our instincts are concerned. Our instincts were a long time in the making, though, and the threats that can come after us now have outpaced them. You can't outrun a bullet, and you don't go hand to hand with a gunman unless you're certain you are about to die anyway. Speed and mindless aggression weren't going to keep me alive. I needed to figure a way out. I felt another bullet hit the lower part of my coat. It caught spell-strengthened leather and tugged it forward, just the way a thrown rock might have done. Admittedly, though, the rock wouldn't have made that angry hornet buzzing noise as it struck. I dumped a garbage can over behind me, hoping it might trip up the Gruffs for a second and buy me a little time. Hey, you try coming up with a cogent, rational course of action when you're running down a frozen alley with genuine fairy tale creatures chasing you, spitting bullets at your back. It's way harder than it looks. I didn't dare turn to face them. I could have raised a shield to stop the gunfire, but once I had stopped moving, I figured odds were fantastic that one of them would just hop over me like a kung fu theater extra, and they'd come at me from two directions at once. In fact, if I were them and had tracked me to that alley, the chattering gunfire from behind me ceased and I realized what was happening. I raised my staff as I neared the far end of the alley, pointed it ahead of me, and screamed,
"Forzare!"
My timing wasn't perfect. The unseen force I released from the end of the staff rushed out ahead of me, an invisible battering ram. It struck the third Gruff just as the Fey thug stepped around the corner, a massive oak cudgel readied in his hands. The blast didn't hit him squarely. It would have thrown him a goodly ways if it had. Instead, it caught the right side of his body, ripping the cudgel away from him and sending the Gruff into a drunken, spinning stagger. I don't know much about goats, but I do know a little about horses, having taken care of my second mentor, Ebenezer McCoy's riding horses on his little farm in Missouri. Their feet are awfully vulnerable, especially considering how much weight they're putting on such a relatively small area. Any one of 100 little things can go wrong. One of them is the possibility that some of the surprisingly frail little bones just above the back of the hoof could be fractured or broken. A pastern or fetlock injury like that can lame a horse for weeks, even permanently. So, as I passed the staggered Gruff, I swung my heavy staff like a baseball bat, aiming at the back of one of his hooves. I felt the impact in my hands and heard a sharp crack. The gruff let out a high-pitched and utterly bestial scream of surprise and pain and tumbled to the snow. I all but flew on by, lengthening my stride, crossing the street and heading for the nearest corner before his buddies could get a clear shot at me.